And God has a message that will encourage you this morning and hopefully help build some of the foundations of your Christian walk. You know, things that are have been there, maybe some things have been overlooked or kind of set aside, but things that when we really have a deep root, it really, really help us to maintain a faithful walk with God, and something that we'll see more and more of Him manifesting in and through our lives as we understand some of the basics. So we'll get into this. So let's start by prayer. Father God, we're here as children of God, as Your children, Lord, just to be loved on, to love others, to experience Your goodness and Your greatness, Your love and Your power for us, Lord. And this morning, as we press into Your Word, I pray that it sparks something new inside of us, Lord, that it prompts us, it encourages us, it exhorts us and guides us and leads us into a fuller understanding of who You are, what You've done, and a greater revelation of our foundation that is built upon Jesus and upon the rock, upon You. And that, Father, as we leave, that we have a full assurance, a rest in our hearts, that we can rest assured in our relationship with You, that we stand solid in what we know of You and what You're doing in our life, and that we lean into our walk with You on a regular basis, daily, moment by moment, pressing into You for that deeper understanding and never let go of that hunger. Father, we trust You, we praise You for it, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So I see on the screen I named it The Foundations of Christianity. On my screen it's a completely different title called Christian Foundations. Okay, that's kind of a joke. Okay, but it has the exact same meaning. We're going to look at some of the foundations of Christianity as outlined in Hebrews chapter 6. Okay, there are some things that are written in there that for years I would go back to and refer back to that as these are the basic foundations. They're some of the principles of Christianity. And part of the reason as we get started is because in every church, okay, and then this one is no different, there is a wide span of people, okay, that are at different levels in their spiritual growth. Okay, it is possible and quite possible. Okay, not everybody look around right now, but it is possible that there are people that are even in our midst that may not even fully understand their relationship with Jesus Christ to the point of being what we talk about as being born again. Okay, they may be, going from sort of seeking, sort of maybe have something inside. They understand there's something about church, or they're going through the motions of Christianity. They might go to church, even fairly regular. I knew a person that had gone to church for more than 20 years and yet had never given their life over to Jesus Christ. And they went to an evangelical type church. Okay, it is possible to see that, okay, to have that going on. Okay, these people are ones that may go to church. They may even pray occasionally. Okay, but maybe they haven't really made that full commitment to Jesus to say, my life is Yours, okay, and given it over to Him. So I think in a church it can range from that person, okay, or people, to the other end of the spectrum, which are those people that are clearly born again. Okay, they know that they know. They are Spirit-filled. They've been pressing passionately and fervently into the power of God's love. Okay, just been pursuing and growing in His love and in His grace and in His power for many, many years. It has just been a deep-rooted hunger, something they've always had for many years. They may have yielded their life to Jesus Christ. They yield to the Holy Spirit, and they're walking in their giftings. Okay, they are continually producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit as outlined in the Bible. They are considered mature Christians, okay, mature disciples. Okay, they're actively sharing Jesus Christ and the gospel, the good news of what He came to do and what He did for others. They're sharing the gospel of Christ, and they are determined to let God use them to lead others to Christ and then to disciple and mentor them until they are sharing Christ and leading others to Christ as well. Okay, that is, in Bible terms, that would be considered a perfect Christian or a mature Christian. Okay, it is someone that has gone beyond taking to giving. Okay, and that is a summary of some of what you're going to hear this morning. Okay, I know that this might be hard for some of you to believe, but your life as a believer and as a disciple of Jesus Christ is meant to be more than just existing as a Christian. Okay, it is about more than just being saved and knowing where you're going when you die. Okay, where will you spend eternity? You were saved on purpose, and you were saved for a purpose. God has a purpose and a plan for you. And I believe that for anyone in this room that is giving their life to Jesus, God has a purpose for you on this earth. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to call this the beginning of a series. Over the next few weeks, we're going to press into some of the foundations of Christianity. Okay, and all of it with the intent that each and every person that hears or comes and listens, that they will mature to the point of not only being a mature disciple themselves, but they will grow to that point of intentionally discipling the less mature or even the potential believers who are in their life. Okay? They will see their life as more than it's just about me getting saved, it's about me learning, it's about me growing to that point of actually sharing Christ. Now, I know that it could be a scary moment for people to think, oh boy, gosh, I don't know enough. How do I share Christ? Okay, you'll understand some of that as we go through this. It's not about, I don't want to jump too far off track. Let's keep going here. Okay, discipling the less mature or the potential believers around you in the church service, okay, is one of the major intents of the Christian church. It is one of the major purposes of the fellowship that you're a part of. It is one of the reasons why God says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It is about gathering together to learn. Absolutely, we're growing in our faith. But also, we are growing with an intent, with a purpose, with a goal of actually maturing to the point that we are able to encourage and equip and help the people that are around us as well. Because remember, everybody's at a different level. You could be sitting next to somebody that, man, they're just seeking. They don't really understand or know what they believe yet. And yet you have a full understanding. And so think of what you have to offer that person. Okay, it is part of God's plan for the believers to not only have a place where you can be fed, okay, where you can be taught and learn and grow in faith, but that you also have the opportunity week after week to purposefully live out your Christianity by helping your fellow believers. As we get to the end of this message this morning, I hope that'll become more clear of why we need one another. What's the purpose? Why should I help so-and-so? They got their own life. Let them figure it out. I had to figure it out. You ever thought that? Okay. There's a purpose to it. There's something that happens in a fellowship. You know, I was looking through some notes the other day on a sermon series I taught a while back on growing up and maturing in Christ. Okay, I can't remember what the exact title with it was, but that's what it was, on maturing in Christ. And I remember going through the stages of Christianity from infancy to sort of adolescence and then young adult and adulthood, right? And in adulthood was our goal. Okay, and everything pointed to this spiritual adulthood that when you get to that point, that mature believers are the ones that are humble enough, okay, and loving enough to serve God by helping those who are less mature than they are. Okay, that's how you'll know when you begin to reach maturity as a believer. It's when it's not just about what can I get, it's about how can I help, how can I share, how can I serve in God's kingdom. Hebrews chapter 6 outlines some of the principles of foundation, the principal foundations of our faith. Okay, they are written for us as you look in your Bible at Hebrews chapter 6. And many Bibles in that passage, and maybe even the one before that in chapter 5, it might have a subtitle in there that says something about a warning against backsliding. Okay, Because when a believer forgets that these principal foundations of Christianity are there and what they are, or maybe they've never really even been taught what they are. Okay, maybe in the course of their development as a believer, they just kind of got skipped over. They tried to jump to the next level. That was me as a young believer, by the way. Okay, always wanting to one-up it. I didn't want to just all this basics. Let's jump. Okay, and try to get into that spiritual stuff. And I saw it in myself. I saw it in my friends. I saw it in other people. Well, they're all spooky spiritual and didn't have any substance to their life. Okay, and they skipped some of the basic foundations of Christianity. Now, I'm not saying that being spiritual is wrong. We need that. Okay, but we'll get there in the right way. Okay, we want to, as believers, avoid the backsliding. Now you can look up that term and look in different ways on what it means. But basically, it's people that have maybe forgotten, maybe they've never been taught in their development. They will be prone to falling away or turning away, walking away from the Lord and His principles. Okay, losing integrity, compromising, steering away, or at the very least, they'll be easily offended and immature in their walk with Christ. That's what can be done when we begin to fall away. Let's look at these principles before I get too far into this. Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Okay, now there are six foundational principles, if you're counting, of our walk with Christ in these two verses. But before we really press in, and I want to show you each one of those six and break it down, and we'll look at it in the next couple weeks. But before we dive fully into them, we got to set the stage a little bit, okay, of why the Christians are being warned to go on unto perfection. Why they're being prompted to go on unto maturity. Now, the writer of the book of Hebrews, he's writing to the Hebrew Christians. And at this point that we read this, right before that in chapter 5, he makes a very bold statement to them concerning his readers' dullness of hearing. Okay, dullness of hearing. Okay, he was trying to express to them some really deep spiritual truths about Jesus Christ and how he was the high priest, but it wasn't because of his, you know, his lineage or his last name, so to speak, but he was of this because God had appointed him to that. Okay, and then he has to address their dullness of hearing, and he says this to them in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. He said, of whom, or of Jesus, I have many more things to say, and they're hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. He tells them, in other words, that we have much to say about this topic, but it's pretty hard to explain to you because you have become dull and sluggish in your spiritual hearing, and you're what he referred to in the Greek is disinclined to listen. In other words, well, I won't jump to that. I'll tell you what. When I hear preachers, I always admire pastors and preachers that are willing to preach the truth in love. Okay, they're willing to say what needs to be said, when it needs to be said, and how it needs to be said. Okay, and that is exactly what I see here. I see the writer writing to the Christians and Hebrew Christians, and he says, I have a lot to say about this topic, but I'm not going to waste my breath. I'm not going to try to teach you the deep spiritual truth when you are too immature to comprehend it anyway. That's pretty blunt. Okay, that's right in your face saying, you know what, I've got a lot more I want to say, but I can't say it because you're dull of hearing. You're too, you know, immature to be able to comprehend it anyway. And I believe that his goal in saying this, as you read this passage, a couple of chapters in here, I believe his goal was to helpfully wake people up. Okay, to help them see their current spiritual condition. Okay, not to just go on, la, 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 but to really take a look, examine where they're at in their walk with God. Because spiritual pride is something that the Bible talks a lot about, and it's something that is one of the biggest hindrances to Christian development. Spiritual pride. It's something that holds people back. It's when people think that they've already got everything figured out, okay? Or at least maybe they know enough to get by. Ooh, that one hits a lot of people. How many of us know enough to get by? Okay, we do. But when we get to that point where we, if someone thinks they already have it figured out or they think they know enough to get by, they're going to be prone to tuning out the truths of God's Word, and they'll actually resist the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. Okay, as a side note, but here's what I see. Here's just from the heart. Immature Christians, when they could be led and guided by the Holy Spirit, I will literally see them going in a direction and then just jump in a different one, and it wasn't God. It was the devil that influenced. He came in, and they're on the right track, and all of a sudden, they're off on this tangent, and you're like, where did that come from? Okay, it is from spiritual immaturity, not paying attention to what's going on. They thought they had it figured out, and they're just going off in this direction, and pretty soon, they're way over here, and they don't even know how they got there. Okay, that is a distraction that happens in people's lives. Anyway, let's get into this. In the passage that we're reading about, the writer literally goes on to say to these dull of hearing Christians, in verse 12, the next verse, he says, "For when the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again," would be the first principles of the oracles of God. "And you become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those by whom reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Okay, he says that even though by this time you've had plenty of time to learn these truths, and by now you should be teaching these truths to others, yet you actually need someone to teach you again what are some of the elementary principles of God's Word, as it were, from the beginning. Okay? Remember, this passage in many Bibles is titled "A Warning Against Backsliding." Okay, it's not uncommon for believers to grow and to learn and grow in faith and then sort of unlearn what they've been taught. How quickly do people forget? How quickly do we forget? If we're not hearing that message, remember Paul talked about, you know, I'm saying this message, I know you've heard it, but it's good for you to hear it again. Okay, many times I'm summarizing, but he said it more than once where I'm saying this to you, but I know you probably heard it, but it's good for you to hear it again. Okay, because hearing, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. And so sometimes we need to have a reminder on a continual basis. Okay, I'm a pastor, right? And I get into the Word every day. I dig and I pray and I fast and I get all these revelation things from God's Word. But if I don't continually feed myself and go back and make sure that I'm on track, I could get off track as well. Okay, so I have sources. I have a leader in my life and people that I will connect with to be able to run things by and to just to share life with and do life with so that I can make sure that we're on the right track, that we're on the right page. Okay, I don't want to unlearn something. Okay. Sometimes people will unlearn what they've been taught by different reasons. Some is maybe a false teacher. Okay, they go under a different teaching or they get distracted. There's division in the body of Christ. The devil loves division. God loves unity. So that false teacher may come in and share with them some things that contradict things that they already knew were the truth, but now they're starting to question it. Okay, it may come from cares and pleasures of this life. Okay, maybe just, you know, you felt like you were walking with God, you had good things going, and then life change happens, and pretty soon people start caring more about life and this and that and other things, and they begin to distract and step away from that truth. Okay, some might go back under legalism as the simplest way to get off track, is to forget grace, okay, to begin to stray from grace and go back under the law, back under legalism, performance-based Christianity. Then it's when you feel guilty, condemned, unworthy, okay, and they begin to live under that and they don't realize what's happening, but they're off track. They're back under that. Believe me when I tell you that the writer of this book to the Hebrew Christians is not the only teacher or preacher in the world that has ever felt like the professing believers should be more mature in their walk with God. Okay, one of the biggest, this, I think this came just from the heart here, but just listen. One of the biggest frustrations in any pastor's life is the fact that they fervently pray, they study, they learn, they share the truths of God's word week after week, to people who simply warm the chair, let it go in one ear and out the other, and they never allow the truth of God to penetrate their life to the point of actually living out that truth. Okay, instead they go on living the same way. They act the same way. They have no desire for what the first one of those six was that we looked at, to repent from dead works. Okay, that's the basic foundation of Christianity, is repentance. They go and do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, however they want to do it, and they never line their life up with God and His Word. You know, those are times when a pastor would really ask themselves, am I really making a difference? You know, am I praying, am I studying, am I teaching, am I doing all this for nothing? What's the point in what I'm doing? And those are real questions pastors ask themselves. I guarantee you, if they've been pastoring for any length of time, in the beginning, oh man, it's all great and fun and wonderful. But after you pastored for a long time and you begin to see people that you're sharing with, you've told them the truth, and yet they continue to go on living that way, they begin to ask these questions. You know, I think the writer to the Hebrews just called it like it was. What are they going to put up with it? And I tell you, if I sometimes come across as being pretty blunt this year, I think I've reached that point in ministry. I'm going to be a little more blunt. Amen. I always felt that my pastor was very, he just said it sometimes, but he had been doing it a long time. I remember one time we had a friend and or a guy from the church, and he calls me up that morning, and he just said, his name was Paul. Rather than call me up, hey, how's it going? What's your day been going? Any of that stuff. He just calls up and says, Paul's dead. Paul died. He had a heart attack and died that day. And that was, I mean, you talk about blunt. I mean, that's not what I mean, but that's just the way that he had gotten in ministry, was just get right to the point, say what needs to be said, okay, and cut out all the feel-good stuff. Because I'll tell you, I love feel-good messages, and I know what they are. I mean, I know, God, we will have them, okay, because they're important as well. But it also is important to be able to teach the Word, and sometimes that Word is strong meat and not just milk. And sometimes people need to be encouraged to, you know what, you put your baby bottle down and start taking out the fork, right? Start eating some good food here. The writer of the Hebrew called it like it was, and he tells them, You've come to be continually in need of milk and not solid food. He said, for everybody that lives on milk is, you know, they're doctrinally inexperienced or unskillful in the word of righteousness, since he is just a spiritual infant. But solid food is for the spiritually mature, whose senses are trained by practice to be able to distinguish what is morally good and what is evil. And then he outlines for them what the principles of the doctrine of Christ are, as a reminder to them of where it all began. His hope, I believe, is that if he reminds them of that basic message of the gospel, that they will again begin seeing how maybe they have skipped over some of the most important, some of the most beneficial elements of the Christian faith. And then his hope is that they'll make some adjustments. You know, that's why every single time that I preach a message is that people will be able to make some adjustments. Okay, it's not about just hearing a good message. Oh boy, Pastor, that made me feel so great. You know, sometimes it's, oh boy, Pastor, that one cut through to the heart. Okay, it'll go both sides, but we've got to have it to be able to make adjustments. Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. Let's go back to it. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again that foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Now, in this very first part of this verse, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, principles in the Greek refers to things that are chief, okay, top, highest priority, things that are chief in order, place, and rank. They are number one. The principles of the doctrine of Christ are those things that are absolutely vital to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. They are the things that every believer should have as part of their basic understanding of Christianity. Okay, and the writer's goal again is, and God's goal for you, is to have those things so ingrained in your life, the principal things, so ingrained in your life that you can actually leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. That's what it says, right? Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. He wants them to be so ingrained in your life that this is the core of your being, that you will not stray. It's not something you will ever unlearn or forget or stray from. It is part of who you are. And he wants you to have these principles as such a solid foundation in your life that you can now move ahead or go on, as he said. Let us go on unto perfection. Okay? And that's what he wants us to be able to do. Now, perfection, okay? Everybody seen the bumper sticker? I'm not perfect, I'm just forgiven, right? Okay, your spirit is perfect, by the way. Your spirit's going to be with God, and God can't have sin. God can't have anything that's not of him. Your spirit is perfect. Okay? So get that in you. Okay, and some of the flesh stuff that still manifests and shows up, yep, there's some things that can be dealt with there. But that's not what perfection means in this verse. It means to be complete in growth, mental and moral character. To be complete in growth, mental and moral character. It means to be mature. Okay, let us go on unto maturity. And I'll bet a lot of the Bibles out there, if they're a different version than King James, will actually say maturity. It means no longer a child, still developing moral character, but someone who is actually walking out their righteousness. They're living it out with integrity. They're living it out with godly character. Their life is a manifestation of perfection or maturity. Now, some of you remember at Bible college class, we memorized some verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it talks about all scripture being inspired, given by inspiration of God. Right? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Perfect. They want you to be perfect or mature. Okay, in that verse, in particular, in 2 Timothy 3:16, it means, or 17, it means having reached maturity. Okay? Having reached maturity. It means henceforth complete, or from this point on, you are mature. Okay? It means you've arrived at maturity. Okay? Now, with the Word of God, we're told in these verses that it is possible to achieve maturity. It is an achievable goal. Okay? Some of you are sitting there going, oh man, I'm just so far off. I'll never get there. The Word of God says in these verses, all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, so that the man and woman of God may be mature. That you'll be completely, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Does it say that in these verses? Okay. Somebody's still awake. It tells us that the Word of God is given to us so that it can lead, guide, correct, do all these things in our life, instruct us so that we can be perfect. We can be mature. Okay? Now, how can you tell if somebody has reached maturity? Is it possible to see that about somebody? I'd ask you this. If you have a 40-year-old man and he acts like a 10-year-old, and you also have a 40-year-old man that acts like a 40-year-old man, which one has reached maturity?
That's right.
The guy that's there. He's living it out. You can tell, okay, if you have a little bit of maturity yourself. Maybe a 4-year-old wouldn't be able to tell the difference. Okay, but when you have matured a little bit in the natural, you can tell if somebody is living in maturity. Some people seem to have, you know, mature or act more mature at younger ages or whatever, but you can tell when somebody reaches maturity. Okay, now today, a lot of Christians forget that our goal is maturity. Okay, our goal is to reach this perfect place. Okay, the world has influenced so many people to settle for less than God's best for them. In fact, our society tries to brainwash people from a very, very young age to be consumers, to be takers, okay, to be self-centered, to be childish. Okay, and unfortunately, the people in the Christian church oftentimes are not much different. We've been influenced as well from a young age. It's not necessarily our fault, but our society has bombarded us to be a taker. Okay, I need to move on, but we joked around a little bit when it came to Christmas season, and we watched a football game occasionally, and they'd have the Lexus commercials, and everybody's getting Lexus for Christmas. And my wife said, "Who in the world gets a car for Christmas?" Sure, it's not us, you know. We haven't gotten a car for Christmas lately, but anyway, it's possible. I'm not saying God could do it. God could give us a car. Okay, I'm sorry. Some people do get cars for Christmas. Okay, but anyway, it's about taking. They probably weren't influenced by all the commercials. They were just, it was time to get a new car. There's a difference. Okay, spiritual maturity is visible in the life of a believer. Spiritual maturity is visible in the life of a believer. It is demonstrated when the love that you have in your heart is extended beyond yourself. Okay, remember I started that there's different levels in the church of spirituality, and some people are there, they're just trying to take it all in, and then there's others that are there, they're taking in, but they're also giving. They have reached spiritual maturity. Okay, and it's not a stopping point. Don't quit there, never mind. You can also tell when someone's love is not extending very far, in part because their feathers are ruffled all the time. Okay, they're getting offended, they're getting put off, oh, they're rolling their eyes, they get bent out of shape pretty easily offended. Okay, they whine, they complain, they criticize instead of edifying, encouraging, and supporting. Okay, so when you see edification, people are building each other up, okay, they're supporting one another, they're encouraging and edifying, they're helping to lift up the people around them, you begin to see spiritual maturity manifesting. Okay, and that is, Christian church, that's where we're going. Okay, I hope we get there. You know, some of you are there and we're moving forward with it, but we need to keep going forward. Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. I got to finish this up. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Don't worry, I'm not going through all six of those today. Okay? In order to go on unto maturity in Christ, you have to have these things, over the next few weeks we're going to get them, settled in your heart. Okay? They are the foundation. Okay? They are the basis of your life as a believer. Okay, remember the scripture, the word of God has been given by inspiration of God, providing you with everything you need to be perfect, to be mature, to be complete as a believer. You've been thoroughly, amply, and adequately furnished to do the right kind of works and to live the life that God desired from the very beginning for you. Now, James, in his writing, we used this scripture last week about being a doer of the word and not a hearer only, right? We are to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves, right? The one whose foundation is solid on these truths will not just hear the words of Jesus, but they'll actually act on them. In other words, you're gonna make those necessary adjustments in order for your life to begin to line up more with God. It was a young believer laying in bed at night, crying myself to sleep, saying, God, I don't want to be this way anymore. That was part of the process. Okay, it's one of the six, right? Repentance from dead works. I said, God, I don't want to be this way anymore. I want my faith to be in you. I want to trust in you. And those things began to go away. The mature believer, being the one that does what he hears, is going to have an obvious foundation that's rooted in Jesus. It's rooted in the words of Christ. Jesus told us in Luke 6:47-49, whosoever, everybody say, I am whosoever. Okay, that's us. Whosoever cometh to me, and he hears my sayings, and he does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep. Everybody say, dig deep. And he laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. You know, if I haven't effectively gotten across to you the point to dig deep, to build your foundation of your life on a rock-solid foundation of the Word of God, then let the words of Jesus himself sink in. Okay, in your Bible, it's probably in bright red ink. Okay, let it sink in. Build your house upon the rock. You know, every one of us is going to encounter some storms in life. Some of the storms are going to be mild. It's just going to downpour. It's going to rain like crazy. Okay? Might make a mess of things for a little while, but you know, it's going to end eventually. Okay? Those are some of the minor storms. Other times, the storms might be major. They might be hurricanes. Okay? Tornadoes and lightning. And I tell you, it is in the height of those storms that you're going to find out what you have founded your life on. It is in those moments, some people call them a crisis, a major storm. It is in those moments that you'll find what you have founded your life on. We had a fairly tumultuous, I like that word, we had a fairly tumultuous storm in our family, at our house last weekend. We were sitting in the living room and I think the football was playoff time, and so it's kind of exciting, and started turning the TV on to watch that, and had the fireplace going. And pretty soon from the fireplace, the wind is blowing 40, 50 miles an hour. It was really bad last weekend. And as the wind's blowing, pretty soon I start hearing this roar like a tornado. Like, you know, they say it sounds like a freight train. And I'm like, what is that? And Marge's like, what is that sound? And we could hear it, and I stepped over by the fireplace, and it's coming from that end of the house. Our house was on fire. Okay, the chimney had caught fire. They call them chimney fires, and not knowing how chimneys are set up, it'll burn into the house. That's how attics start on fire. Your whole house burns down. At that very moment, okay, I send one of the boys out, and I said, go look at the stack outside. Go look at the chimney. Runs out, comes back in, and says, Dad, the house is on fire. There's flames coming out of the house. Okay, and as the winds are gusting, I go out and look, and the flames coming out of the top are several feet long because the wind is blowing so hard in one direction, towards the roof, of course. So as I'm literally sprinting to the shop to grab a ladder, I had one ladder, most of the ladders were down here because I share them with the church kind of thing, and so most of them were down here, but I had one that was tall enough to get to the roof in the shop, and so I sprinted. And as I'm running out to the shop, I screamed out, God, give me wisdom. I don't know what I should do. I didn't know how to handle it. What was the best way? What am I supposed to knock the fireplace over? What are you supposed to do when that happens? And so I screamed out, God, give me wisdom. I don't know what I should do. I grabbed the ladder, ran back to the house. You know, James chapter 1 says that if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Okay? It was a very, very intense time in my life, in our life. But at my core was my faith in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is what came to the surface at that moment. Okay, Jesus helped me and my wife and my sons get that fire out. And 24 hours later, we had everything cleaned up. I had put things back together and reassembled and done all the things. And 24 hours later, we were sitting in front of a warm fireplace again in our living room. Okay, now to be a doer of the word means that in a moment like that, you will recall what you have read and what you have heard and then act on it. I knew if I asked God for wisdom that he would give it to me. I also have Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 memorized that says what? You trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and what? He's going to direct your steps. I didn't know what I should do or how to go about it, but I knew that the Lord did. And as soon as I cried out to him, it removed all doubt for me, at least, from that moment on, that he was directing my steps. I believe he does it every day anyway, but I knew right then, I just cried out to God for wisdom. He is directing my steps. I know that about God. Now, one thing that I noticed during that little crisis, as I wrap this up, was that I did not want to be alone. I wanted to be surrounded by people of faith that were believing that God was going to help us get this done. And I had exactly that in my family. They were right there by my side. My sons were literally, my boys were up on the roof with me trying to put that fire out. They were climbing up and down and running to the shop to get tools and bringing to me as fast as they could. My wife is out in the yard, and we decided fire extinguisher wasn't working and wasn't going to do anything. It literally, I tried springing and it just went with that wind. It would not even touch it. And I tried from the chimney up through the things. And anyway, during the course of all this, my wife is scrambling to get our hoses. We have a hose cart with over, it's 100 yards, about 300 feet of hoses on it. It's a very heavy, massive thing. She is dragging this thing across the yard to get it hooked up, getting the water turned on, sending one of the boys up the ladder with the hose to hand it to me, and we all worked together as a team and put that fire out. Okay, now that was a time. We read in Luke 21 on Wednesday night that before the return of our Lord, there's going to be earthquakes and famines and pestilences and wars and rumors of wars, but there's also going to be a severe persecution on the church of Jesus Christ. And it's at that time that those with a solid foundation are going to band together like never before. Your church is not going to be just a social engagement. It's not just going to be a place for an occasional pick-me-up. At that time, the people sitting around you are going to be your lifeline. They are going to be your closest partners in the faith. They're going to be the ones that help you keep your focus on Jesus. They're going to be the ones that are quoting scripture to you and you're reassuring them and you're standing together on the Word of God in unity. And as you mature, you're going to be that one that even during those times you're encouraging, you're defending them, you're protecting them, you're helping them and helping to build them up and lift them up. So this morning as we end, I just ask you, to seek the Lord, seek to allow God to use you in that way. Okay, seek to mature, to edify, to strengthen, to encourage one another. Okay, because as you begin to do that more, you will step into that mature place that God has for you. He has given you everything you need in His Word. You need guidance, correction, get in the Word, read a little bit. Man, read some Proverbs every day. Read some Psalms. Get into the New Testament. Read what happened in the Old Testament. All these things are in there for our benefit to encourage us as a believer, to strengthen us so that we can grow and mature and share Christ with one another. Okay, help one another. Okay, at some point, this is going to be what you've got. Okay, So we need to strengthen one another, build each other up. Hallelujah. Father God, I praise you this morning, and I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you that it encourages us, Lord. Sometimes it pricks our hearts a little bit, Lord. Sometimes it prompts us and exhorts us to maybe step out of our comfort zone. Maybe it takes us in a place of leading us and guiding us into a place that is where we've never been or further than we've walked with you, or maybe to a new place in our expression of love and gratitude towards you and towards your people and towards the people around us. Lord, I pray that your word today be used as that light, that it leads us and just shows us the path and the way to go, and that through it we understand the foundations of Christianity. We haven't even talked about faith towards you yet, Lord, but that is a big one. That we maintain that faith in you and that we trust in you in every area of our life. And I pray, Lord, for the foundations of our life, whatever it has been, if it hasn't been you, let us make a change. Let us turn it more towards you. Let us build upon the foundation of you and your word, knowing that you have given us your scripture to equip and encourage and to instruct and to lead and guide us, Lord. Let us build upon you and your word, that foundation in our life, so that no matter what comes our way, we will rely on you. We will depend on you. We will trust in you. And Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.